Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
The left is determined to erase the lines between the sexes, whether it be allowing boys who identify as girls to play in girls' sports or allowing those who identify as the opposite sex to serve in the military as the gender of their choosing. Now they're trying to force young women aged 18 to 25 to register for the draft. Amendments have been attached to both the U.S. House and U.S. Senate versions of the National Defense Authorization Act, or NDAA, which would require our daughters and granddaughters to register for selective service, even as their sons and grandsons must now do so. My guest today is Elaine Donnelly, President of the Center for Military Readiness. Thanks, Elaine, for being with us.
Glad to be here.
Now, my understanding is that back in June, the U.S. Supreme Court denied a petition that the National Coalition for Men had filed trying to persuade the court that requiring only young men to register for the draft was unconstitutional. And the U.S. Supreme Court rejected that. Could you give us some background on that and what the Supreme Court said?
Well, the Supreme Court said, no, that is not the job of the Supreme Court, because Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution says that Congress makes policy for the military, not the judges, not the courts. So the petition for cert, as they call it, was denied. The organization representing men, which, by the way, is a tip-off. This is not a pro-women idea of including women in selective service for a possible future draft. But the Supreme Court very clearly, no public dissent at all, said, no, Congress has to decide this issue in the same way that they did back in 1979, 1980 time frame. They had extensive hearings at that time. They looked at the issue from many different standpoints, but they made a decision that it was okay to register men but not women, not just because women were not being used in combat positions at that time, but Congress also said it would be administratively unworkable if you called up equal numbers of both men and women, knowing that most of the women would not be qualified to be replacements for soldiers fallen in battle, then it would be administratively unworkable and militarily disastrous. That's the phrase they used. So that was the decision then. Fast forward to 2015 when the rules changed. Now we do have women serving in the infantry and positions that used to be all male. But there's certain things that have not changed. The things that have not changed are relevant to combat positions, and that is physical differences between men and women.
Exactly.
Now, tests were done, extensive research by the Marine Corps. The Marine Corps wanted to keep the infantry and special operations forces all male because, according to their field tests, when you have mixed gender units and you have all male units, the all male units do better 69% of the time.
Yeah.
So why would we want to go into war knowing that mixed gender units are not going to be as effective as those that are bigger, stronger, that have more resilience, that are able to be deployable, more flexible? It's not that we don't need women in the military. We do, and they serve very well.
Right.
They've always stepped up to volunteer. But
exactly.
When you're talking about the need for combat replacements, and that is the phrase that was used and upheld by the Supreme Court.
Yeah, and I don't...
It doesn't make sense to include women in equal numbers.
True. And I somehow, it just flew right over my head what the draft really was. The draft was to replace those who had fallen in battle.
That's what it's for. It's one of the very few reasons why the federal government can reach down and say, no, we need you to do something for the government and personal liberties are infringed upon for only the most narrow of reasons, and this is one of them, to defend the nation in time of catastrophic national emergency.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Supreme Court upheld that purpose. It's a very limited purpose. But guess what? This new bill that has come forward now on this draft our daughters debate goes much further than just the issue of including all women on the same basis as men to eliminate all male and say all citizens shall register with selective service. That's what the Senate passed back in July. the new amendment that was passed September 1 in the House, it was sponsored by Representative Chrissy Houlihan.
Oh, yes, Pennsylvania.
And, yes, and what it does is it not only says conscription shall involve all citizens, but it says to ensure capabilities of the Department of Defense. It talks about a national emergency not solely to provide combat replacement.
Yeah, my understanding is she's completely changed the definition of how someone, or the reason for someone to be drafted. She's changed the definition in addition to, obviously, removing the word male.
That's right. So what we have here is a blank check. This is a blank check that the full Congress must not sign, because if it is enacted in law, Pentagon bureaucrats would be empowered to interpret and stretch this open-ended provision beyond anyone's expectations or imagination.
Yeah.
And it would open the door to a lot of radical and unjustified changes, and it's happening without any hearings, public debate, informed national discussion. And, you know, the situation with other issues should give us pause for clarity. Consider what President Joe Biden is doing with regard to the COVID mandate.
Oh, yeah, I know.
All right. He is exceeding his authority, telling private employers what they must do. And he's mobilizing OSHA, the
Occupational
Safety and Health Administration, to implement his executive order without congressional authorization. Now, imagine if, he's saying this is an emergency, a public health emergency. What if there was another kind of emergency, a national defense emergency? And let's say that the Pentagon bureaucrats are empowered to register and call up young people for reasons that they decide, not involving combat. That's a pretty wide open mandate.
And absolutely. Do you think that's as a result of what happened on January 6th in D.C.? Do you think that may have some...
I have no idea. Actually, this idea is not out of the blue, because you may recall that a National Commission on Military and Public Service, Military, National, and Public Service, was established, $45 million spent.
Wow.
And its main objective, according to what the late Senator John McCain wanted, he has always been a big advocate of mandatory or universal national service. So this commission recommended that the definition of selective service be changed.
Okay.
So the Houlihan language takes that mandate, or that draft legislation from the National Commission. It takes it word for word for word.
Wow.
So this is the recommendation of a non-elected commission. It was all one-sided when it was set up back in 2017. They are pushing for national service, and they're using Draft Our Daughters as a wedge because, if someone says, well, I don't want my daughters to be drafted, and then the bureaucrats come along and say, oh, well, don't worry, your daughter can serve in some other way. The Military, National, and Public Service will decide how your son and daughter or daughter will serve America. Wait a minute. Excuse me. Where does it say in the Constitution
that's allowed,
that bureaucrats can order young people around for reasons that are not compelling reasons? You see how wide open this is.
Absolutely.
Let's say the government, or you combine the two issues, public health and national defense. Let's say national defense interests in COVID vaccination. Well, we need an army of volunteers. We're going to call up a lot of young people and have them go door to door and make sure everybody's vaccinated.
So they would become the door knockers that Joe Biden is putting together now.
Exactly. Okay. So is that far-fetched? No.
No, not really.
Not. Now, remember, we have a Department of Defense right now that is doing things beyond anyone's expectation. We know that the Secretary of Defense, the first thing he did in his first weeks in office was to have national stand-down sessions to examine what he called extremism in the ranks. And these sessions had a woke bias against non-minorities.
Oh, yeah.
We know that Secretary Austin has said climate change is a national emergency. We have Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Navy Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral Mike Gilday.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're out there defending critical race theory and critical race theory reading lists. And all branches of the service are pursuing what are called, they call them diversity metrics. It's actually quotas, because they say diversity is a strategic imperative. So if the definition of emergency is so elastic and so broad that the federal government, Pentagon bureaucrats, could call up, first register and then call up young people for any purpose, and it doesn't have to be tied to combat.
Right.
What you have here is the very first step, probably irreversible step, toward universal national service.
Isn't
coordinated by the Commission's recommended Council on Military, National, and Public Service. It would be a cabinet-level council.
Wow.
And it would be empowered to commandeer the lives of young people. So this is a grandiose plan, something called the Inspire to Serve Act, Section 401 of that draft legislation.
Mm-hmm.
That is what is in the defense bill right now, to the vote of the House Armed Services Committee
of which
on
five,
September 1.
Yeah, my understanding is five Republicans voted with all the Democrats except one.
That is correct.
Committee.
And they should have known better.
Oh, yeah.
And on the Senate side, the language there is more simple. It would change the word all male citizens to all Americans.
Mm-hmm.
But the Houlihan Amendment, this is the money quote, this is where the extension of government power is unconscionable and nobody is even aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
So next week, the Rules Committee will announce whether or not an amendment to strike this language will be approved. And given the partisan makeup of that rules committee, it's not likely that the amendment to strike, and there is one, actually a couple of them, that will be brought out for a vote on the floor. That means that you can't vote to remove this language. You can speak against it. We hope that members of Congress will speak against it. But on the Senate side, here we have a problem because you had 8 Republicans go along with the Democrats, and 3 of them, unfortunately, were women who should have known better. I'm talking about Marsha Blackburn
of
Kentucky.
Surprised. Yeah.
And Joni Ernst of Iowa. And
She's military. Isn't she military?
Yes,
Ernst?
And she probably persuaded the other two, mm-hmm. and the 3 of them intimidated the men. The ranking member of that committee, James Inhofe, is not in favor of this. Senator Tom Cotton is not in favor of this. But when you've got 3 Republican women doing something ill-informed, unwise,
mm-hmm.
and rash,
mm-hmm.
and I would say irresponsible,
absolutely,
what are the men supposed to do? You see how the political dynamic here is such that there has not been any serious discussion of what the consequences of this draft our daughters legislation would be.
Now, you said that
I'm very, very concerned about this.
Sure.
There still is time. People should be calling and writing their own senators mm-hmm. and representatives and say, what are you thinking? You cannot let this bill get signed into law, because once it's signed into law, the Supreme Court will uphold it. They will assume that Congress knew what they were doing, that Congress intended this. Even if certain members and senators, we've heard, it has nothing to do with combat. I'm not concerned about that.
That's, to me, when I think of military, I think of them being prepared for combat. That's one of the reasons for the military, to protect the country. You said
mm-hmm.
that hearings, extensive hearings, were held back in 79 and 80.
Right.
Have there been any extensive hearings since then? Nothing.
No. The last time that there were hearings on this was 1979 in the House. In the Senate, it was 1991.
Okay.
That was just before the Presidential Commission was established, on which I served.
Mm-hmm.
That's the last time. Now, there have been hearings about things like sexual assaults in the military and other issues involved with social causes and practices in the military. But the question of whether women should be in combat units and whether that's a good idea and necessary or even beneficial for women, there's not been any serious hearings on this. When the commission came out with their report after 3 years, the only justification they came up with to justify this change, they said, well, the time is right.
The time is right. Okay.
The time
that's,
is right.
That's,
yes.
That sounds like a good
$45 million
scientific.
Spent,
mm-hmm.
and that's what they came up with.
Yeah.
But is it that they really spent a whole lot of time and their draft legislation drawing up? Mandatory national service. Well, they say, it's not mandatory, not right now.
But if you're...
always
if you're...
incremental.
Yeah.
When you do things incrementally and you make things consistent, you wind up with radical social change.
Absolutely.
That's
the end result. I mean, that's what they want.
Right.
And
this is exactly what they want.
But So they ignored the study the Marines did. And they're ignoring. My understanding is that the Army tried with their training, gender neutral training, and flopped.
Since 2015, when the rules changed,
uh-huh.
the Army tried to implement what they kept promising before, and that is gender neutral standards.
Mm-hmm.
Women would be held to the same standard as men. That was the promise.
Yeah.
Well, guess what?
Doesn't work.
When they changed the Army combat fitness test from what used to be a gender normed physical fitness test, what happened was the failure rates for women were through the roof. It was over 85% initially.
Wow.
Then they made some changes, brought it down a little bit and down some more. They
mm-hmm.
keep changing the requirements or the scoring systems. But there's still a significant difference in failure rates.
Oh, yeah.
Because women are not the physical equivalents of men. And we're not talking about the women who got through Ranger training. It's as if the three women who made it through Ranger training, that settles the whole issue.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
Now, my understanding
These
is they did some.
Extraordinary women, more power
uh-huh.
to them.
Yeah.
But when we talk about selective service, we're talking about average men and
yeah.
average women.
Yeah.
And in great numbers, you would jam up the system. If you
exactly.
tried to bring in equal numbers of women, you would jam up the system. You would slow mobilization
mm-hmm.
at the worst possible time.
Yeah, yeah.
This is not a good idea.
Right. And Senator Reid from Rhode Island, he's the one, my understanding is he's the one who wrote this Senate amendment. And
right.
doesn't his amendment kind of allude to equal numbers of men and women being drafted?
All he does is change the words male citizens to all Americans.
Okay.
His was very, very simple and just gaveled on through without any real discussion or debate or even awareness of what it would mean. On the House side, similarly, this amendment came up and there was hardly any debate. There was
mm-hmm.
only one member of Congress who spoke against it. There were a respectable numbers of Republicans who did vote against it,
mm-hmm.
but not enough
right,
because
exactly.
the Democrats have control. There was one Democrat who voted with the Republicans, but
mm-hmm.
Again, it's the kind of thing where if they have the votes, they're going to be
they're
able to do what they want to do.
Exactly.
And this is where the Senate has to weigh in, and they need to take a better approach to this and not rubber stamp the recommendations of this unelected commission that took 3 years to come out with four words.
Yeah,
the time is right.
Right. Perfect example of our wasted taxpayer dollars, for sure.
Mm-hmm. It's worse than that because the commission was loaded from the start. It was heavily skewed,
mm-hmm.
I would say almost to the point of conflict of interest.
Wow.
Because there were heavy representatives of the national service, I won't say industry, but these people who want to have government power
mm.
and grants to commandeer the lives of other people.
Wow.
We're not talking about volunteerism in the local community. We're all for that. But let's say you volunteer for your local church or your pro-life group or something like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if that organization that you want to volunteer for, if it doesn't meet the government's approval, that means being woke and politically
right.
correct and meeting those kinds
exactly.
of standards. Well, that kind of volunteer service is not going to count. So count towards what? Well, you have a system of carrots and sticks. Carrots meaning scholarships or the opportunity to have a federal judge or federal job with the government or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The sticks, of course, would be denial of the
oh, wow.
opportunity to have scholarships or jobs with the federal government. It's carrots and sticks.
Right.
Now we're getting into approaching what the Chinese system is of social credits, where if you do what the government wants, you get credits. If you don't,
mm-hmm.
you get negatives. And your freedom can be circumscribed. Now, that's China. They don't have any freedom.
Well, that's
Here,
true.
We do have freedom.
Well, but we're losing them every day. So you're saying that the ability to get a scholarship or a federal job could be tied to
absolutely
draft, registering for the draft
absolutely.
And serving?
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
There are certain sanctions that apply if men do not sign up for selective service right now. They're not usually enforced, but they are there.
Uh-huh.
They do have teeth in them. If you take that and you extend it, again, not for the purpose of being in the military or fighting a war, but for any purpose that the Department of Defense decides is an emergency, you see how open-ended that is.
Absolutely it is. Where does the National Guard come in here? I mean, I thought the National Guard was there. One of the reasons they were there is for national emergencies and such. That's
Of course, the National Guard is primarily governed at the state level. It can be nationalized if needed in a national military mobilization. Okay. It's primarily at the state level. But again, if women and men are treated exactly the same,
it's not going to work
for purposes of selective service registration.
Yeah.
The consequences are really impossible to gauge just how far it would go.
Absolutely. So
looking at what we're seeing right now with our government, with this president going far beyond what appears to be his authority as commander-in-chief, there are certain things he can do. He governs the federal government.
Right.
Arguably, the Department of Defense schools fall under the executive branch. But when you start telling OSHA to decide
to write a
how
rule.
Private employers
exactly.
are going to conduct their business,
yeah.
then you really are on very
shaky ground,
ice, and who knows how that'll be turned out, how that'll turn out, if and when it is challenged in court.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it's going to be challenged because I believe it's the Arizona governor has already said, I think they've already sued over that,
here's
COVID
the thing.
Mandate.
That's one thing. This is worse because Congress votes to authorize this, you see, then the Supreme Court will defer to Congress. This is the whole
That's true, yeah, because it'll be a law, a bill that would have been
exactly.
signed by Biden and it become law.
Exactly. Biden is acting only on executive, what he interprets
at this point
to be
with
his
the COVID.
Power.
Yeah. And
but there is no law behind what he's doing.
True.
If Congress does give the Pentagon power by means of this legislation, well, Katie bar the door. I mean, who knows
Absolutely.
Where
it'll go. And that's what the Supreme Court said. It's up to the legislature, up to Congress to change the law, and that's what they're doing.
That's
exactly.
That is exactly what the Supreme Court said when they rejected the lawsuit of the men's group trying to draft our daughters.
Yeah.
And
now, is this,
it's all
do you think,
it's all according to the Constitution. It puts the burden of oversight on the Congress, and that is a serious burden.
They're just pushing an agenda.
Members are not taking this seriously.
No, they're just pushing an agenda. Do you think this is a outgrowth of the feminist movement? Or, I mean, I think feminists would be outraged. I don't, you know.
Oh, they've always wanted women to be subject to selective service drafts.
Have they?
You
okay.
see, they're talking about other women, not themselves.
For
the most part.
Yeah,
with few exceptions. There are some military women and people like Joni Ernst. Oh, yes. Well,
yeah, that's crazy.
She doesn't have a problem with that.
Yeah, so it encouraged.
But yeah, feminists have always been on the wrong side of this issue, along with the men, for different reasons. Mm-hmm. They're for a bad idea. But the majority of young women, and including those who want to volunteer for military service, they always have, they always will.
Right.
There is no compelling need to say, oh, it's only fair, women have to serve.
Yeah.
No, women do serve, and they will serve again in the future.
Exactly.
But forcing young women to register on the same basis as men, that is not a good idea.
So folks need to contact their congressmen and their senator, in our case, Senators Casey and Toomey, and ask them to vote no on any National Defense Authorization Act that includes a provision or an amendment that requires young women to register for the draft.
That is correct.
Okay.
And if there is the opportunity, they should support an amendment to strike that language.
Okay. In
fact, whether that opportunity will come up, we don't know. But there are senators. Several of them passed a resolution against this whole idea. Now, how far Senator Mike Lee and some others, whether they'll get the chance to have a floor vote, I don't know.
Wow. I just happen to have...
Republicans should know better than this.
Absolutely, they should. And they're trying to make this, if you're opposed to it, you're sexist. I mean, that's what they're doing. If you're opposed to...
This is not pro-women. There's nothing good for national defense.
Totally agree.
This is all about power. The Houlihan Amendment approved on the House side... That is all about government power and authorizing unlimited power or very narrowly limited defense purposes mobilization defined by Department of Defense bureaucrats is what it amounts to.
And my understanding, there's no opt-out for married or pregnant or moms in this.
Well, if fathers are subject to a draft, mothers would be too, which is, of course, likely.
Yeah.
But this doesn't automatically authorize a draft. This is just registration for select service.
Well, but their name's in the pot.
Registered is the pool from which people would be called up.
Yeah. Let me give you give our listeners some numbers. Senator Bob Casey's D.C. number is 202-224-6324. That's 202-224-6324. Senator Pat Toomey's D.C. number is 202-224-4254. It's 202-224-4254. I encourage your listeners to call your congressman, call your senators Casey and Toomey, and ask them to vote no on the NDAA if there's any kind of provision that requires women, young women, to register for the draft and to support any amendment that would come down to strike that language. How can folks contact you, Elaine?
Well, through our webpage, it's www.cmrlink.org. And there's a lot of information about the issue. We'll be posting a new article that was in the Federalist yesterday about this blank check power grab aspect of it that was in the Federalist yesterday.
Yeah, it was an excellent article. Okay, thanks so much for your time, and I really appreciate your keeping on top of this and your expertise on this. Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay,
thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323. Or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.